Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and Romans chapter 3. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to preach to the choir. Romans chapter 3, would you stand with me as we look at this passage of Scripture along with Ephesians chapter 2. Romans chapter 3, verse 22 says this: Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But I want to go back to verse 22 of chapter 3 in Romans and draw from there, out of one phrase at the end of verse 22, and ask the question, what's the difference? For there is no difference. Father, we ask for your divine intervention and touch, help, and anointing this morning. Touch the lips of your servant. Pray that you would touch the ears of the hearers. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Amplified says in the last portion of chapter 3, verse 22, and it is meant for all who believe, for there is no distinction. Verse 23, the Amplified said, since all have sinned and are falling short. We see that phrase, there is no difference, or as the Amplified uses the word distinction. And it's obvious to us that there must be something specifically involved here because there's so many differences around us. There's so much to be looked at in the way of our differences. The circumstances of our birth so often are different. Maybe if you were born in the Wise Ball community, somewhat that difference is diminished. Because the lifestyle of the Wise Ball community, Wise Ball Valley as it were, is so much the same. People are so much the same. But when we get out beyond, when we look out beyond, it doesn't take us very far before we realize that the circumstances of our birth vastly differ among us. There's so many things. One can be born, so to speak, in a castle. The other one can be born in a cottage. Someone can be born into struggle while the other one is born with a silver spoon, figuratively speaking, in their mouth. We see differences in birth. One is born with abundance and the other one is born with idleness. You don't have to go very far in Shoals area. You don't have to go very far wherever you're from to realize that some, when they are born into this world, they are inheriting, as it were, generations of evil influence. Yet on the other hand, there's some people that are born with generations of a good quality, moral character, integrity, strength. We find so many differences about our birth. We can go beyond our birth and we can see also that there is a tremendous, many times, tremendous difference in our mental abilities. Sometimes within the same family. I've got three brothers and a sister. Forgot what I had. What's so funny there? Some people think things are funny and other people don't. Jokes go across different ways. But even in my own family, my siblings, we're all so different. All of us went to college, not all of us graduated. Those of us that did graduate, some of us graduated near the top of the class, and some of the others of us graduated below that. My youngest brother graduated with a 4.0. I'm not sure if you could say it, but perhaps if we looked at the record, I would have 4 and 0 in mind too. Just not in that same position. Our mental capabilities. We are so different in these areas. We're also different in our upbringing. Again, even two people in the same family, because of the differences of that person or those people, if the parents do not adjust to the differences of those people, then the same upbringing can be different because of the personality differences. Some of us needed to be hard or dealt with very severely, and others of us didn't need to be dealt with so severely. And had that more tender person been dealt with severely, then their upbringing would have differed so much from the other. Our advantages of youth. Even in the same family, the advantages can be so different because of the contacts that those people have made or the people who have had contact with youth. Somebody who may have influenced my life may not have influenced my brother's life in good ways or bad ways. Though it may not be real, it's still something that we as humanity think about, and that is the differences or the degrees of sinfulness. Some people look at sin, most of us look at sin somewhat in the area that things are worse than other sins. In society, we've said that that's true because some sin in society requires a greater condemnation or a greater sentence. But when it comes right down to it, God is telling us here in this passage that there is no difference. While we look at the circumstances of birth and we look at mental ability and we look at upbringing and we look at the degrees of sinfulness, God is still saying that there is no difference. So we have to understand what He means. And we can find that God is giving us some very specific points in this area of what is the difference, having no difference. One thing that God tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 and 27, that all of us are mortal. As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. In that verse, he doesn't break it down into certain categories, the differences of birth or the differences of mental ability or the difference of sinfulness, the difference that may be there in our upbringing. He simply says, and it is appointed unto man once to die. There's no difference between us. There's no exceptions for us. We are all on the same level when it comes to our mortality. The second thing we notice in God's Word about us, that there's no difference among us, is found in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned. For all have sinned. Who's worse? Who is the worst sinner? The one that manufactures drugs, the one that pushes drugs, or the one that is addicted to drugs? Who is worse, the porn star or the porn addict? Who is worse, the prostitute or the one that visits the prostitute? We categorize things. We have things as different levels in our mind, but God simply and very clearly tells us that all have sinned. But I'm not as bad as that person. God says all have sinned. Consciously, willfully, and all are guilty. The third thing that we notice in God's Word, where we are not under a different measure, there's no difference, is that all are under condemnation. That may be hard for some to take, but that's exactly what God's Word tells us. John 3, verse 18, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." The reason for that, he said, is because their deeds were evil. What is he saying? That the person that does not accept Jesus Christ as Savior is still under the natural inclination to do sin and to do evil. The natural inclination of mankind is a downward inclination. It's the sinful things that the nature of man draws a person to. Whether we are willing to admit it or anybody is willing to admit it, the grossest of sins in society we could be guilty of if it were not for certain things outside of our own strength, outside of our own choosing, outside of our own desires. We could be there even ourselves had it not been for things that maybe God put in our way. God placed there for us to be guarded against. Because the natural inclination is to do evil. To do those things that are sinful. When we come to humanity and what we usually think, and this is probably where it gets most difficult preaching to the choir, is far too often we wrap our own righteous cloak around us. Thank God for grace. But the Pharisees' problem exists so often within our own world today as well, and that is the self-righteous cloak that we can clothe ourselves with. If it's not our self-righteous cloak, then it can be the shirt of our own importance. Or the pants of our own abilities. And if that's not enough, then it might be the stuff that's hidden underneath, the undergarments of "I'm not so bad." No, it's not something that we broadcast. It's not something that we portray out here. It's something that is hidden underneath all of this other righteous cloaking around us. I'm not as bad as the other person. Matter of fact, I may be better than most. Or you may be better than most. As a matter of fact, you just might be better than... name somebody. You just might be better than the preacher. You just might be better than the Sunday school superintendent. You just might be better than the song leader. You just might be better than that person that is held at a lofty position. We can be better than somebody else. I'm not so bad. We can see all kinds of trouble around us in other people's lives. But the Word of God clearly tells us that all have sinned and all are under condemnation. As horrible as that may appear, as horrible as that is, we have yet to see another thing, that there is no difference among us, and that is that all are loved by God. We know the verse, the text verse for the love of God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Perhaps the text parable for the love of God is found in the portrayal of the prodigal son returning to the father. The father, while he was yet a great ways off, ran to that prodigal, fell on his neck and kissed him. What a story, what a picture of the love of the father. He's no respecter of persons. He sees us not as we are cloaked in our clothes of righteousness and self-importance and all of our comparativeness within our mind and our thinking, or the differences that we classify sin and how we aren't as bad as somebody else. He looks beyond all of that and he sees the heart, and he looks at the heart and he says, I love that person. He didn't just stop there, though, with that kind of an expression of unbiased love, but he also gives us the understanding that there's no difference in that all are provided for. 1 John chapter 2, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. All are provided for in Christ. Another thing that we find that we are no different in is that all are invited. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come. Jesus very openly and clearly advertised that all are invited when he said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. It's a wonderful thing to know that there is a plan, even though we may be different in our personalities and all that was mentioned of our differences, that does not include our differences when he invites. He welcomes all of us. Another thing that we can notice about there's no difference between us is that all are saved who trust in God. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. All of us, any person, it doesn't matter where we've been born, it doesn't matter where we've lived, it doesn't matter what the differences have been, God provides something for us, and he reaches into the heart and the life with an invitation, and the response to that invitation brings us to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, where we accept him. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's important for us to notice that the wrath of God does not abide on the person just because they have sinned a great sin, but they have to face the wrath of God because they did not believe. They did not accept. It's not that they didn't measure up to the standard of somebody else or somebody else's opinion. It doesn't mean that they exceeded or didn't exceed somebody else's cloak of righteousness. It's simply that they didn't accept. It's simply that they did not receive. just as much as those who do receive, those who do believe. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away, and all things have become new." There's no difference. What is the difference between us? If there is any difference between us, it is the difference that amounts only to the temporal things. There's no difference in the eternal things unless we choose not to receive Him. All are under condemnation for sin. It does not matter how deep the sin or how not so deep the sin. And because of the sinful nature of mankind, God has extended an invitation to come through Jesus Christ. Those that are thirsty can come. Those that are hungry can come. Those that want to receive Him can come. They need only to confess, believe, and receive. You say, well, you've narrowed it down to a three-point simplicity. No, I haven't. That's the way Jesus gives it. The only complication is when we add the complication to it. But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we stand together this morning, I'm fully aware that I'm preaching to the choir. But God in His providence and wisdom knows why He laid this message on my heart for this morning. Is there somebody here that needs to respond to the call to come to repentance? Lay aside the cloak of righteousness. Lay aside the shirt of self-importance. Lay aside all those things that you've clothe yourself with to convince yourself that I'm okay, but your sins are not forgiven. Would you come to the altar and pray this morning? We'd be glad to pray with you. Seeking the Lord, the open invitation. Sing this with me before we go. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Would you dismiss us in prayer?